Okay, let's get into Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tes Vav, the very famous Perek of Shaul not wiping out Amalek, the Haftorah for Parsha Zachar. We could spend many, many hours on this Perek, one should know, but we will try to get the basics and various ideas that we can learn, but one should know, really, this Perek demands more than just one shir. Just Ha'ara, after this Perek, we will have a Chazara shir on the first half of Shmuel Aleph. Shmuel Aleph is 31 Prakim, so just as we have had a review shiur on Yoshua and Shoftim, so Shmuel Aleph will split in half, so we will have a review over the first half of the Sefer. Okay, so what is this parak about? Shmuel says to Shaul, you're the king, you have to wipe out Amalek, right? The mitzvah d'araisa, zacharis asher asalach Amalek, and timcha, macho timcha zecher Amalek, and you are charged with it because you are the king. So what happens? He goes and Shaul starts the job, but does not finish the job. As we know, the famous story, he does not wipe out the animals. He does not kill Agag. He holds him. He captures him. And Hashem appears to Shmuel and says, I'm upset, kini chamti, so to speak, that I appointed Shaul the king. And Shmuel davens and, so to speak, saves Shaul from that momentary danger. But then he goes the next morning and he goes to Shaul. Shaul does not think he did anything wrong. He feels like he wiped out the men and he kept the animals. What's the problem? He says, I've done what I'm supposed to do. And Shmuel gets upset at him. And Shaul keeps making excuses until Shmuel continues and says, what'd you do? What'd you do? And finally, Shaul, after blaming it on others, only when Shmuel refuses to walk back with him to the Am, and he would be embarrassed, and Shmuel says, because of this, you will lose your malchus. That is finally when the Shaul says, Chatasi, I have been sinned. Please just walk back with me so I'm not embarrassed. And that's what happens. And Shmuel ends the parak by saying, I will never see you again. Shmuel will never come see Shaul again, though Shaul, we will see, one time comes to see Shmuel one more time. But this is the parak that teaches us and tells us about what happens and what was the final straw in Shaul's malchus. So now let's get into the actual psukim of the parak. So the parak starts off. Ayomer Shmuel el Shaul, Osi shalach Hashem limshachacha lemelech al amal Yisrael. Hashem sent me to appoint you king on Israel. The atosh malakol devrei Hashem. So now listen to the words of Hashem. So what's the first half of the pasuk and the second half of the pasuk? Says the Radak. Shmuel is saying to Shaul, you're the king, and therefore you have to listen to this sivui. Why? The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf, the three mitzvahs that B'nai Yisrael, when they go into Eretz Yisrael, is number one, appoint a king, number two, wipe out Amalek, and number two, to build a base of Bechira. It's the king's responsibility to wipe out Amalek, and therefore that's what Shmuel is telling Shaul here. I have appointed you to the king, and now it's time for you to wipe out Amalek. The milchama of Amalek is a unique type of milchama, unlike all the other milchamos, the Torah describes in the end of Parshas Beshalach, exactly the milchama, and Moshe Rabbeinu holding his hands up. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah telling us that why would Moshe's hands have to stay up by Beshas Milchama against Amalek? Because that is Meshabed as Libam Shel Yisrael Shabash Lavim Shabashamayim. There's a special idea of connecting to Hashem to overcome Amalek. All the symbolic nature of Amalek we overcome it by connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Milchemes Amalek. That's what Shmuel says to Shaul. You're the king, so you have to be the one to take care of business. The Me'iri, which we mentioned a couple of weeks ago when we spoke about when they first asked for a king, the Me'iri bothered. In Maseches Harios, how could Shaul be the king? It's Lo Yaseh Shevem Yehuda. So if you look, as the Me'iri noted, he wasn't called a king yet. He was called the Nagid. I appointed you a Nagid. All of a sudden here, Shmuel says to Shaul, I appointed you a king. It's the first time it says that. So one might say, because he's about to lose it to the real king of David, so maybe that's why he calls him that here, even though before this, he only called him a Nagid. But either way, what's the tzivui? Ko amar Hashem tzvakos, pakadati eis asher osa Amalek l'Yisrael. I remember what Amalek did to Bnei Yisrael when they left Ba'aloso Mitzrayim. When they went out in Mitzrayim, what did they do? So we remember the Rashi at the end of Parshas Kisetse, where the pasuk says, "Asher karcha baderech," that they were koreach us baderech. What exactly does asher karcha baderech mean? That's what this is referring to. That Shmuel is saying, I remember what they did to you. Shakarcha baderech. Rashi quotes three pshatim. We know at the end of Barshki Seitzei. Either asher karcha lashon mikre, they happened upon you and they started a war. Number one. Number two, lashon keri vituma, a lashon of impurity. Shrei metama of mishkav zachar. And number three, lashon kar vachom, cold and hot. Three different pshatim that what Amalek did. The Bali Musar explain that maybe all three can be connected. And that is Amalek, the root of Amalek is Suffolk. Anti-hashgacha, mikre. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved in the world. He's not in charge of the world. Things just happen. That's what happens in the world. There is no hashgacha. That's what Amalek believes in. That's what Amalek is gematria suffik. That's mikre. Everything just occurs. That he means that he cooled off the whole world. The whole world believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The makos kriyas yamsuf. Amalek comes and cools off the emuna in the world. And that is the source of tumah in the world. Being distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Shmuel is saying here. To show that Hashem remembers everything that Amalek did, everything that he brought into the world, that he distanced all the people of the world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know until Amalek is wiped out, and until fully, when Mashiach comes, Ki Yad Al Kiska, as Rashi says, you know, Hashem's name is not going to be complete until Amalek is gotten rid of. So Atah, Leich V'Hikisas Amalek, go and wipe out Amalek. We mentioned in the past the beautiful thought of Amalek. If you look at the word Amalek, it's an Am, Ayin Mem Lamed Kuf. It's an Am that takes the top of the tippy top of the Lamed, the tallest letter of the Aleph base, something amazing, something high, and schleps it down to the bottom of the Kuf, the lowest letter of the Aleph base. Right? So that's what Amalek is. It's an Am that takes amazing things and says it's nothing. It's not Ashkacha. So you have to get rid of Amalek after what he's done to us. And don't have Rachmanis. Lo Sachmal Allah. Because this would be misplaced Rachmanis. Veimata Miish Vadisha. One could say that he knew that Shaul was going to do this. So consider yourself warned. Why do you even have to kill the animals? Migamal al-Khamar. So Rashi quotes the famous Medrash that maybe some of the Amalekim were magicians. They could change themselves into animals. The Radak says maybe it's just more pashut that we have to wipe out every memory of Amalek, remembrance. And therefore, if this is an Amaleki animal walking by, so that would be a violation if we don't destroy it. So we have to destroy everything. Vayishama Shaul Asa'am. So what happens? Shaul gathers the people and he counts them with sheep because he doesn't want to count them directly. Vayifkadei Betzla'im. And again, he counts Yehuda separately as he did the previous time as well. And what happens? Vayavo Shaul Aleinu Amalek. Vayarev Banachal. And he comes and he starts to fight in the Nachal. So Pasha says that he starts to fight. But there are two other pshatim. The Malbim says, you know, Shaul thinks to himself, I'm just going to start a fight. How is that looking? How is that going to look? That's not I can't just start a fight with Amalek. There has to be a reason. There's always reasons why people go to war, why nations go to war. So it says the Malbim, he started to fight about a Nachal, about a certain area, a certain territory. It's mine, and he knew Amalek would say it's mine. So that's his excuse that he started. That was the problem, says Amalek. Hashem told you to do something, don't come up with an excuse. Oh, it looks bad. Do what Hashem tells you to do. That's the Malbim. The Gemara in Yuma even goes further. That Shaul made a kal v'chomer here by Yerba Nachal. Where do we have Nachal in the Torah? We have it by the parsha of Egla Arufa. Shaul thinks to himself, Chav Bezim Abezim Yuma. B'shosh Amalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Shaul. Leich V'kises Amalek. When he says to him, go wipe out Amalek. Amar, he says to himself, Uma Nefesh Achas. Omre Torah Have Egla Arufa. If the Torah says even for one soul, you have to bring an Egla Arufa. Kol HaNefashos Halalu. All of these souls of Amalek, Alachas Kama V'kama. Vim adam chata behem machata, and if a person says an animal, vim gedolim chatu ktana machatu. So he had all this rachmanis. Yatsu bas kol v'yamro lo alti tzadik harbe. Don't be such a tzadik, Shaul. Just do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. Because after all, later on, b'shasha amar lo Shaul adoeg. Later on, when Shaul massacres with his shlichim the city of Novi Irakonim, right? So what happens there? So you see, it's not just a rachmanis. That's what the Gemara says. Somebody who is merachim on achzarim will ultimately be ma'achzer on rachmanim. And that's what happened. There's an example given is Shaul HaMelech. So that's a Vayarev Banachal. That is the Gemara in Yuma uses that Lashon, and the Yalkut is the one that uses the Lashon of of Rachamim and Achzarim, as I just said. It's B'yalkut right here in Shmuel and in Remez Kuf Chaf Aleph. Kosher Rachman al Achzarim, Losov Nasa Achzar al Rachmanim, Lalanksiv Es Novi Arakonim, Hika Lefi Charev. He's still worried, but you know, really, he's doing it for his own, because he doesn't want himself to feel bad. Okay, so this is the beginning of Shaul's end. But Yomer Shaul HaKeni, Shaul says, before he hits who he hit from Amalek, he says to the Keni, right, the descendants of Yisro, Lechu suru redu mitoch Amaleki, you should separate yourself, because you did chesed to Bnei Yisrael, and therefore, you have to remove yourself. So it's amazing, the Baalei Mussar point out, Rav Dessler writes this in one place, that when did Yisro do chesed to Am Yisrael? Thousands of years before! Thousands of years, not thousands of years, but a long time, I should take it back. A while before, hundreds of years before. And now, because of that chesed that was done, so now there's still a debt of gratitude? The answer is yes. We remember what Amalek did to us years ago, and remember what Bnei Yisro did to us years ago, and we still remember it. So after they leave, Vayach Shaul es Amalek, Mechavila Boach Hashur Asher al Pnei Mitzrayim, Shaul goes, which I think we discussed back in Sefer Shoftim, Shaul, which is from, who's from Binyamin, Dafka the Bnei Yosef, have power against Amalek, as we know Yeshua ben Nun also. Vayitpos es Agag Malach Amalek Chai, and he grabs, he does not kill Agag, he keeps him, he keeps Agag live, which we know had a tragic results, according to Chazal, that he was able to be with a woman that night and eventually gave birth to Haman. That's kol am hechrim lifi charev, and all the am he was machrim. Vayachmol, and here we go. Vayachmol Shaul veha'am al Agag. Shaul and the am had rachmanus on Agag. They didn't keep Agag to make it a public execution to make sure to instill fear. Vayachmol. They had rachmanus on Agag and on the meitavatzon and on the animals and all the other things. Just the inferior types of animals they killed, but the nice animals they kept, fine. That's the story. So then we have Ayid Var Hashem El Shmuel Lemar. Hashem says to Shmuel, Nichamti ki imlachti yishol amelech. I'm upset. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the events beforehand, but this is just l'saver sa'ozet to make us realize and put it into terms that we can understand. So he says, I can't believe Shaul did that. Kishav me'acharai, v'estvarai lo ikim. Shmuel gets very angry, but what does he do? Vayiz'ak el Hashem kol halayla. He davens the whole night. Does not say exactly what he was davening for. Maybe he was davening because he felt very close to Shaul. Maybe he was davening a little bit for Shaul. Don't strike him down now. Give him some time. But after that, he goes to Shaul. And here's the meeting. Shaul says to him, Baruch Atol Hashem, Hakimosi es Dvar Hashem, blessed are you, Baruch Hashem, it's great to have done a mitzvah. And Shmuel says to him, I don't see any mitzvah being done. Vayomer Shmuel, Umek kol atzon hazeh ba'aznoi, what is the sheep that I hear? V'kol ha'bakar asher anochi shamea, what is this? The Mefarshim point out that there's a little onomatopoeia in this pasuk. It says, Umek kol hatzon, meh. Meh sounded like a sheep, right? Not ma. Should be ma. So meh kol hatzon hazeh ba'aznoi, what is it? The sound of the sheep and the sound of the bakar. And Shaul says, what do you mean? It's from the Amalekim that the Am brought to give to for karbanos. What's the problem? I brought them for karbanos. Shmuel says, listen to what I have to say. Shaul says, fine, talk. Vayomer Shmuel, and here's the key line to understand the chait of Shaul. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Haloim katon ata be'inecha rosh shifte Yisrael ata. If you are small in your eyes, you are the head of the Jewish people of Am Yisrael. Vayim shachachah Hashem lemelech al Yisrael, and you are the king. And Hashem told you to do something. Why didn't you listen? What's going on here? What's the secret? So according to many, it already starts with the Radak. The Radak, the Mesudas David, point out. And the Achronim expand on this. Shaul was a great tzaddik, but he was not a successful melech. Why? Because he did not rule over the Am. He was ruled by the Am. And he was worried about them. That's why about five or six times in this parak, it says the word Am. Pasek tezvav. Asher chomel ha'am. The Am had rachmanis. Or, finally, after what he says, yeah, we took it, but it was the Am. And later on, he says, the Am. Ki erasias Am. I was scared of the Am. He says in Pasek chavdalet. Only the last final at the end, he says, chatasi, he doesn't blame it. But he was governed by the Am, like we spoke a couple of days ago, about his daughters, about Michal and Merav. When Michal looked out the window and saw David HaMelech dancing in front of the Aron, she gets very upset. She says, my father would never have done that. And David said, that's exactly the point. Because why? What's the contrast to Shaul and David? And again, if anybody wants more on this, there are whole books written. Rabbi Bachrach has a book, Ma Bein Shaul LeDavid. Many, many chapters about the root differences. But this is one of them, that David was able to rule over and do what he knew was right, separate from the... And that's what a Melech has to do. A Melech has to do what he thinks is right, even if it goes against sensibilities of those around him. In the Sama Achronim, in the Kamotzi Shal HaRav, he quotes also two other differences. Maybe they dovetail and connect. Number one, that Shaul never had to work for anything. He was what we might call a tzaddik meikaro. Mashiach came David. David came from Moab. David had to work on himself. David had personal barriers that he had to overcome, and he worked on himself. And therefore, he ended up being a stronger king because he was used to overcoming. The Gemara says in one place that Shaul ba'achas lo also lo, Shaul lost his malchus for sins, and David did not lose his malchus for sins. The question is, why not? Ask the Sefer Ikarim. They both did averos, so David also wasn't perfect. So why did David lose it? I'm sorry, why did David not lose it and Shaul lost it? The answer is, because what type of sins was it? David's sins were personal sins. Everybody has personal sins, okay? But Shaul's sins related to the Malchus. And if they relate to the Malchus, his lack of being a proper king, so that is a bigger problem for a king, and therefore, that's why he had to be removed, right? That's the difference between, that's the Sefer Ikarim, the difference between David's sins and Shaul's sins. And one final point, in the Kamotzi Shal HaRav, he quotes here also, it was a tremendous anav. Like we know, he was Nechma ben Akelim, he didn't want to be the king. But once you're the king, you gotta be strong. And that's why he even suggests in the Ori Ya'el, he quotes this from Rav Yehuda Leib Chasman, and again, in the Kamotzi Shal HaRav here, another famous question, why there in the Torah there is no mitzvah for Midos Tovos? There's no mitzvah that Midos Tovos. It's a prerequisite for other mitzvahs, but he says maybe our parak proves another answer, and that is, let's say Anava. 90% of the time, Anava is appropriate. But once you're the king, it's misplaced Anava. You have to rule over. And therefore, he says, Hamidos einan kvuos ba'adam. He had to be an anav until he became king, but once he became king, no. Sifsatol, son tazim alecha melech, husam keser malchus barosho. That's not time to be an anav in that circumstance. And that's what Shmuel is telling him here. Haloim katon ata beinecha roch shifte Yisrael ata. You think you're small, you gotta be big. You gotta take, as the saying goes, even if you don't take yourself seriously, you gotta take your position seriously. And therefore, you have to make sure people give you the proper respect and rule over them. Shaul, let's continue now. Shaul said to Shmuel, I still don't understand. Lasher shamati b'kol Hashem. The Radak says he interrupted him here. He says, I listened. Vo'eilech b'derech sheshlachani. It was the Am that took. And Shmuel says, the Am took to bring me karbanos? What's better, to bring me karbanos or to listening to Hashem? A great pasuk. Hachefetz l'Hashem b'olosu zvachim k'shmoa b'kol Hashem. Does Hashem want karbanos more than he wants you to listen to him? He wants you to listen to him. So he asks you to kill these animals. Kill the animals. V'yomer shalo Shmuel chatasi. So finally, the first time he says in pasuk chavdalet, I've sinned. Ki avarti es pi Hashem es tvarecha. I violated not only your word, but Hashem's word. But then he still adds an excuse. He's not there yet. Ki yareisi es ha'am. He doesn't blame it on the people, but now he says he was scared of the people. Vo'eshma b'kolam, and I listened to them. V'yata, please, son, eschatasi, bear my sin, shuvi me, walk back, don't have me embarrassed and walk back by myself. V'yomer Shmuel Shaul lo ashevimach, no, I won't, ki ma'astes tvar Hashem, because you made disgusting the word of God. You're the king, you have the chance to be a Kiddush Hashem, you have to be on such a level, and you weren't, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is... He's upset at what you did, and Shmuel turns to go. There is a Chanukas HaTorah, the Rebbe Reb Heschel, discusses, again, a Charifus, as he always does. He asks, he said, why is this? Because Shaul didn't kill out the animals, that is why he lost the Malchus? That's besides Agag, but the conversation is about the animals. So, says the Rebbe Reb Heschel, why is it that Hashem chose a king from Binyamin anyway? Why Binyamin out of all the Shvatim? So he says, well, maybe he goes back to, and Rashi quotes this Al HaTorah, a little bit connected to it, Binyamin was the only one that didn't bow down to Esav. Binyamin didn't bow down to Esav. That's why he has the power. Asks the Zohar there in Vayishlach, but how can, this is all quoted in the Rebbe Reb Heschel, how can Yaakov have bowed down to Esav anyway? So everybody bowed down to Esav. How did Yaakov bow down to Esav? The answer is because it says V'hu avar lefnehem, and the Zohar says that means Hashem went in front. So really, he was bowing down to the Shekhinah. It just looked like he was bowing down to Esav. How could he do that then? It's still Maris Ayin, right? If you drop a coin in front of an idol, you're not allowed to bend down the normal way because it's Maris Ayin, right? If it's Maris Ayin, you still can't do that. And that's why, even though there was Maris Ayin is a problem. And because Maris Ayin is a problem, that's why only Binyamin, even though the other, you could say the Yaakov and the other Shvatim, did not bow down to Esav. They were bowed down to the Shekhinah, but Maris Ayin is a problem. And therefore, they were rejected, and Binyamin was the only one. So now, Vehine L'shol Haisa Tshuval Sheila Shmuel. Shol had an answer to Shmuel's Taina. What is this sound of the tzon that I hear? What's his answer? Asher Chamal Ha'am. He says, they had Rachmanis, but you know what? I'm bringing it as a carbon. But it looks bad. It looks bad. Hashem said to kill you, wipe out the animals. But it looks bad. Shol maybe thinks, Shemar Asayin and Hashem, what do you mean it's Mar Asayin? But still, I'm going to take them to bring, it looks like they're taking from the spoils. It looks like they're going to enjoy, but I'm going to bring them as a carbon. So it's a little Mar Asayin. But Shmuel saying to him, no, if Mar Asayin is you don't think Mar Asayin is a problem? Mar Asayin is a problem, and that's the only reason that you became the king. And that's why you have to be careful. He says, "Afatami shevet ben yamin shud siyran shal shvatim eino el bnei marasayin shoyse b'shtachavayas Yaakov v'shar shvatim." They bowed down, but it looked bad. So too, you have to be worried about what looks bad. Also, says the Rebbe Heschel, and that's why he's going to lose the malchus because of the animals. In any case, pasuk of Zayin, Shmuel turns to leave, and what happens? Vayachazek beknaf milo vayikara. He grabbed his beged and he tore it. Who grabbed who? So the pashtus is that Shmuel turns to leave, and Shol grabs him and accidentally tears his beged. That's the pashtus. But Rashi quotes the Rus Rabbah that says that's one pshat, or maybe it was the other way, that Shmuel grabbed Shaul's beged to say the person who does this to you in the future is going to be the king. A third pshat the Radak says is that maybe Shmuel tore his own beged as a siman of Avelus. Right? He was touring it because this is one of my students, one of my progeny, so to speak. And this is what happens. So Shmuel says, after it was ripped, Kara Hashem es mamlechus yizomi alecha, Yom Hashem has taken it from you and given it to L're'acha hatov mimecha, to somebody who is better than you. V'gam Netzach Yisrael lo yishakev lo yinachem, and the Netzach Yisrael Hashem never lies, meaning Rashi says, tshuva is not going to help right now. Maybe after the first sin, two prakim ago, maybe the sin in Gilgal of not waiting, that, as we discussed at length then, that might have been undone, but this is not undone because he just promised it to David, and therefore there is no going back. Right, Radak here also discusses the connection between this chait and the previous chait. Finally, after that, Shol says, chatasi, without any excuses, which this is one of the messages of tshuva. Tshuva, until we just say, I did something wrong without any excuses, it's not full tshuva. Only here, once you say chatasi, that's tshuva. And only then Shmuel says, fine. Vayashav Shmuel achrei Shol, he goes, vayishtachavu Shol Hashem. And meanwhile, what happens? Shmuel says, bring me Agag. He takes Agag, and he takes care of business with Agag. There is a big discussion that Rabbi Yehuda has in Doresh Letzion, his Drasha Sefer, which all the Achronim pick up on afterwards, according to the Mada Amr, that Shmuel was a Nazir. So how could he have been Metame himself? It says he killed him with a sword. And, how does that work? Okay, various different answers given. In any case, after this, Shmuel goes back to the Ramah, and Shaul goes up to Givat Shaul, and the parak ends off. Shmuel never sees Shaul again. Ki his Abel Shmuel el Shaul. Shmuel's an Avelus. Right, he didn't do this because he wanted to and he doesn't like him. He's an Avelus. V'Hashem nicham ki im lecha Shaul al Yisrael. This takes us through the first half of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, and it is the story of Shmuel and Shaul. Coming up in the next parak starts the second half of the Sefer, and that, of course, is David and David HaMelech. Okay, we'll stop here, and Hashem will have a Chazara Shir the next time.